All right, get ready, because today we're going deep, really deep into Sufism, you know, the mystical heart of Islam. We're going way beyond the rituals.
That's right. We're looking at Islam from the inside out.
Ooh, I like
that. We're going to be talking about its history,
okay,
all the important figures. We'll even have a little quiz for you later from The Spiritual Sikh.
Oh, a quiz. Okay, you've got my attention. But before we jump into all that,
sure.
What exactly IS Sufism, for someone who's maybe never even heard of it before?
Yeah, well, imagine a path that's all about love and devotion and inner purity, and that's the key to connecting with God. That's Sufism. Hmm. It's this mystical dimension of Islam, and it's all about experiencing the divine directly.
So it's not just about, like, the rules, the rituals. It's about going deeper than that.
It's about cultivating a personal relationship with the divine.
Yeah.
And that journey begins with understanding the core principles of Islam, like Tawhid, the belief in the oneness of God, and Usan, which is the pursuit of excellence in worship.
So for Sufis, it's more than just going through the motions.
Yes.
It's about every single act of worship, like every moment has to come from a pure heart.
Precisely. And that emphasis on inner transformation has been a hallmark of Sufism.
Yeah.
Since its very beginnings, back in the 7th century,
wow,
alongside the Prophet Muhammad.
Okay, so this is a tradition that's deeply rooted in Islam.
Right.
But how did it evolve? Who were some of the people that kind of made it what it is today?
So the early Sufis were known for living really simply. They rejected material wealth. They wanted to live a life that was all about the spiritual.
Right.
They even wore, like, rough wool garments as a symbol of their detachment from the world.
Oh, so that's where the term Sufi comes from.
Exactly. Suf means wool.
Wow. So their clothing was literally a symbol of their commitment.
It speaks to their focus on the essence of faith, not the outward appearance.
Right.
And as Islam spread, Sufism spread, and it blossomed into this rich tapestry of beliefs and practices that still inspire people today.
Yeah, and that tapestry is full of superstars, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, Rumi,
yes,
whose poetry still resonates with everybody, even centuries after his death.
Absolutely. Rumi was a 13th century poet and mystic, and his words capture the essence of Sufism: love.
Yeah.
Longing union with the divine.
I love that quote. The wound is the place where the light enters you.
Yes.
It reminds me that, like, sometimes it's in our suffering that we can grow the most.
Exactly. And his masterpiece, the Masnavi, is like this guidebook in poetic form.
Okay.
Full of stories and metaphors that illuminate the Sufi path.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Rumi also founded the Mevlevi order.
Yes.
Which is like the whirling dervishes.
Yes, mesmerizing whirling dervishes. Their white robes flowing, their bodies become like instruments of spiritual expression.
Okay, so Rumi was poetry and dance.
Yes.
What about some of the other, like, Sufi superstars?
Yeah.
Who else should we know about?
Well, there's Al-Ghazali. He was an 11th century scholar and theologian, and he was like the bridge between traditional Islamic thought and that mystical experience.
So he was saying, like, you can be a devout Muslim and a passionate mystic.
Exactly. And his book, Ihya Ulum al-Din, The Revival of Religious Sciences, is like the cornerstone of Islamic spirituality.
I love that Al-Ghazali quote, the actions of a man are dependent on his intentions.
Yes.
Like, our inner motivations matter.
Absolutely.
Especially in spirituality.
It highlights the importance of sincerity and purity of heart.
That makes sense.
On the Sufi path.
Didn't you mention someone who had, like, some mind-bending ideas?
Ah, you must be talking about Ibn Arabi.
Yeah.
He was a 12th century mystic and philosopher, and he came up with this idea of Wahdat al-Wujud, the unity of being.
Okay, break that down for me.
So imagine reality where everything, every grain of sand, the cosmos, is a manifestation of God.
Whoa. So, like, everything's interconnected.
Exactly. He captures that perfectly in his quote, I am the one who is in all, and I am the one who is apart.
I can see why his work is like essential reading for anybody getting into Sufism.
His writings like Fusus al-Hikam, The Bezels of Wisdom, and Al-Futuhat al-Makkiyah, The Meccan Revelations, they had a huge impact, not just within Islam, but also on Western thinkers during the Renaissance.
Wow. So Rumi the poet, Al-Ghazali the bridge builder, and Ibn Arabi, the mind-bending metaphysician.
Yes.
It's like Sufism has this rich history.
It does.
People who have just pushed the boundaries.
It certainly does.
Of spiritual understanding.
And each one represents a different facet of the Sufi path, a different way to approach it.
But it's not just about you know, individual figures.
No.
Right. There are different orders within Sufism.
Right. And understanding those orders gives us a deeper appreciation for how rich and how varied Sufism really is.
Okay, so let's talk about these Sufi orders. What are some of the key ones?
Okay.
And what makes them different?
Well, one of the oldest is the Qadiriyya. They really emphasize personal awakening and ethical conduct. And they do that through things like prayer and dhikr.
Wait, dhikr? What was that again?
Oh, right. Dhikr is the remembrance of God. You often do that through repeating his names or sacred phrases.
Okay, yeah. It's like a form of meditation.
Yes.
But like focused on connecting with God.
Exactly. So the Qadiriyya, they're all about dhikr, ethical living. But then you have other orders like the Naqshbandi.
Oh.
And they're known for their silent dhikr. They're more about contemplation.
So they're like constantly aware of God in their daily life.
That's it.
That's interesting. Are there any that focus specifically on serving others?
Yeah, absolutely. The Chishti order, they have roots in India, and they really emphasize love and tolerance and service to all of humanity.
Like putting your faith into action.
Exactly.
Yes.
Serving others, serving God.
I love that.
The Chishti are also known for using qawwali music. It's devotional singing, very powerful, can even induce ecstatic states.
I was just thinking about music.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's incredible how music can be such a powerful tool
yeah.
for spiritual expression.
And of course, we can't forget the Mevlevi order, like the whirling dervishes. So captivating.
Yeah, they really embody Rumi's legacy. They create this multi-sensory experience, weaving music, poetry, and movement together.
Like witnessing the soul's yearning
yeah.
for the divine come to life.
That's beautiful.
Okay, so we've got the Qadiriyya with their dhikr.
Yes.
Naqshbandi,
yes.
silent contemplation.
Yes.
Chishti, service and music.
Yes.
And the Mevlevi with their whirling.
Yes.
So many different approaches.
Each one is the unique path
yeah.
within this broader tradition of Sufism.
It's like all different trails leading up to the same mountain.
I love that analogy.
Different views.
Right.
Same destination.
I think it's time we really dive into the core concepts of Sufism.
Okay, yes. Let's get to the heart of it.
The ideas that tie all of these practices and orders together.
Like we've touched upon divine love, mm-hmm. self-realization.
Yes.
That concept of fauna, which was a little
mind-bending.
Yeah, a little bit. What do these things actually mean? How do they play out in the lives of Sufis?
Well, at its core, Sufism is about love.
Okay.
But it's not just any love. It's divine love. It permeates all of existence. It's the force that binds us to God and to each other.
It's like the ultimate love story.
Yes.
But with God as the beloved.
And this love isn't just a feeling.
Right.
It's a driving force, a transformative power.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
What about knowledge and self-realization?
For Sufis, knowledge is crucial.
Okay.
But it's not just about facts and scriptures. It's about seeking this deep experiential understanding.
So you're going beyond book smarts.
Yes.
To like a heart-centered knowing.
It's intuitive.
Yeah.
And in Sufism, it's called marifa.
Okay.
And this knowledge leads to self-realization. It's about uncovering our true nature.
That we're not just separate individuals.
Exactly.
But part of something much greater.
Right. And that brings us to the idea of fauna.
Fauna. Yeah, the annihilation of the self. Mm-hmm. So I'm still a little...
puzzled.
Yeah, a little bit. Can you help me out here?
Fauna isn't about literally destroying yourself. It's about transcending the limitations of your ego, surrendering to the divine will,
okay,
and experiencing union with God.
So letting go of our separateness, merging with the divine.
It's like a drop of water merging with the ocean.
Beautiful image.
It's a process, a journey of purification.
Makes sense. Does Sufism stand alone?
It's a good question. Sufism rooted in Islam, but its principles resonate with spiritual themes across different cultures and religions.
So it's like these universal truths, but expressed in different ways.
Exactly. So, for example, in Hinduism, the concept of Atman, the individual soul, and Brahman, the ultimate reality, it echoes the Sufi idea of the self merging with the divine.
Oh, interesting.
And in Buddhism, the journey to nirvana, transcending the ego, achieving liberation from suffering. Similar to fauna.
Oh, wow.
Different paths.
Yeah.
Same mountain.
There's that quote, "The path is long and the way is hard. Do not be hasty."
That's a good one.
It's a reminder that spiritual growth takes time.
It does.
Patience.
Yes. Yes.
Regardless of the path.
And it's not just Eastern connections, right?
No. Sufism was hugely influential in the West, especially during the Middle Ages and the Renaissance.
Really? Tell me more.
Yeah. Rumi and Ibn Arabi, very influential. They inspired poets, mystics, philosophers.
So Sufism, originating within Islam, had this huge influence on other cultures.
It speaks to the universality of its message.
Yeah.
It transcends religious boundaries.
This quote, "We carry within us the wonders we seek outside us."
That's a great one.
Like, the real journey is inwards.
It's about recognizing the divine spark within.
Yeah.
And connecting to that divine reality.
Yeah. Okay, so we've looked at Sufism's history.
Yes.
Philosophy.
Yes.
Core concepts.
Yeah.
Connections to other traditions.
But why should I care about Sufism?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
It's relevant in today's world, especially with all the division and disconnect we see.
It's so easy to feel overwhelmed, you know.
Sufism offers a powerful antidote.
Okay.
It emphasizes tolerance, acceptance, and love for everyone, no matter their differences.
Like, we're all connected.
Exactly.
Part of that tapestry.
Even fauna can be applied practically.
Oh, really? How so?
Well, what if we applied that idea of letting go of the ego to our daily lives?
Yeah.
Could we approach disagreements with more humility?
That's a good point.
More compassion.
So shifting from that me versus them to like shared humanity.
Exactly. That's what Sufism invites us to do. To look beyond the surface differences and recognize that divine spark.
That connects us all.
Exactly.
So it's not just personal enlightenment. It's about creating a more harmonious world.
Precisely. That message is just as relevant today as it ever was. But maybe it's time to lighten things up a bit. You mentioned a quiz earlier.
Yes. The Are You a True Sufi quiz from the Spiritual Sikh.
Are you ready for it?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's see how much you've learned.
All right, bring it on.
Okay, first question. Which of the following is a common practice in Sufism that's used to reach a state of spiritual ecstasy?
Okay, I like this.
A, fasting for long periods. B, reciting poetry silently. C, whirling dance.
Okay. Well, fasting is a spiritual practice.
Yeah.
But not unique to Sufism.
Right.
I love poetry, but I don't think silently reading it would get you into, like, ecstasy. So I'm going to go with C, whirling dance.
That's right.
The dervishes, they know how to get into it.
The Mevlevi order.
Yeah.
They use the whirling sama dance, and it's often described as a form of moving meditation that can induce these ecstatic states.
Okay, 1 point for me. All right, what's next?
All right, question two. Who is one of the most influential poets in Sufism known for his mystical writings?
Hit me.
A, Al-Ghazali. B, Omar Khayyam. C, Jalaluddin Rumi.
Oh, come on. That's too easy.
Is it?
It's Rumi.
Right.
His poetry is amazing.
It nourishes the heart and spirit.
Two for two. This is too easy.
Don't get too quiet. We've got a few more.
Okay.
Question three. What does fauna refer to in Sufism?
Ooh, fauna. That was a tricky one. Okay, what are my choices?
A, the building of religious institutions. B, the accumulation of knowledge. C, the annihilation of the self in God.
Okay, definitely not about buildings or just like knowing more stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm going to the C, the annihilation of the self in God.
That's right. Three for three.
Yeah.
Fauna is a central concept, and it points to that ultimate goal.
Okay.
Transcending ourselves and experiencing that unity.
I'm feeling pretty good about my Sufi knowledge right now.
Okay, here's question four. What does a sheikh or pir do in Sufism?
Ooh, we haven't really talked about the structure of Sufism.
No, we haven't. A political leader. B, a merchant. C, a spiritual guide.
Okay, I'm going to rule out A and B. I don't think they have that kind of structure.
Okay.
So C. A spiritual guide. It makes sense.
You are absolutely right.
That a mystical tradition would have mentors.
They play a crucial role in guiding and supporting the students.
This quiz is good.
Is it?
It's making me think about things we didn't really touch upon.
What's next?
Yeah, hit me.
All right, question five. Which term describes the remembrance or invocation that Sufis use as part of their devotion?
Ooh, I remember this. It was that one order.
The Naqshbandi?
Yes.
Okay, give me the choices.
A, Hajj, B, Zakat. C, Dicker.
Easy, Dicker.
C.
You are on a roll. Five for five.
All right, bring on the final question. I'm getting my Sufi master back.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
All right.
This one might be tricky. How do many Sufi orders view music?
Okay, this is a good one. Give me the choices.
A, forbidden. B, irrelevant. C, essential tool.
This is tough.
Yeah.
Music isn't universally embraced in Islam.
Right.
But the Chishti order uses that Qawwali music.
Yes.
And Rumi's poetry is practically made for music.
Okay.
I'm going to go with C, essential tool.
You are absolutely right.
Ooh, 6 out of 6.
You aced it.
I knew all the deep diving would pay off. Seriously, though, this was a fun way to think about some of the key aspects of Sufism.
Learning about different spiritual traditions can be fun.
Sufism is such a vibrant tradition,
It is.
full of poetry and music,
Yes.
dance, a deep love for the divine.
It really nourishes both the heart and the mind.
Okay, we've explored the history, the philosophy, the core concepts.
Yes.
We even tested our knowledge.
Right.
What's the takeaway?
I think it's a message of hope,
Yeah.
love, and
Yeah.
unity in a
Yeah.
world that's so
It's
challenging.
easy to lose hope.
It's a reminder that there's a path to connection and peace and fulfillment.
It's about recognizing that divine spark within us
Yes.
and sharing it with others.
Extending that love and compassion.
This deep dive has really sparked something in me. I want to learn more.
That's the beauty of these deep dives. They're
Yeah.
just the
But
beginning.
why keep it to ourselves? Why not invite our
I
listener?
love that idea.
Sufism is about sharing.
Yes, sharing the love and spreading the message.
So to everyone listening, we encourage you to dive deeper into Sufism.
Yes.
Read Rumi,
Yes.
listen to Qawwali music,
And learn about the orders.
and see what resonates.
You might be
You might
surprised.
even find your inner Sufi.
Exploring a topic like this really makes you want to learn more, doesn't it?
It does. But before we run off to do more research and maybe try some whirling ourselves, I think it's time for our thought-provoking question.
Ooh,
What will
yes.
we leave our listeners with, to keep them thinking?
I love a good brain teaser.
We've talked a lot about love in Sufism,
Yes.
its idea of love as a unifying force.
Right, a bridge across our differences.
So here's my question.
Okay.
Given everything you've learned about Sufism and love, what's one small thing you could do today
Okay.
to bridge a divide in your own life? It doesn't have to be a big thing.
That is a great question. It could be something as small as reaching out to someone you've disagreed with, or just trying to see things from their point of view, even just a kind word to a stranger.
Exactly. Little things can make a big difference.
They really can.
Sure.
It's a reminder that we all have that ability to make the world a little bit better.
To make it more loving, more compassionate,
Starting with
our
ourselves.
own thoughts and actions.
Exactly.
So, to everyone listening, we really want you to sit with this question.
Let it resonate.
See what comes up.
And remember, this is just the beginning of the journey.
Keep seeking, keep exploring, and keep those hearts open. Until next time, happy deep diving.